Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson here, coming to you from my basement out here in the eastern plains of Colorado during the best of times and the worst of times. That's Charles Dickens' Tale of Two Cities, for those of you who are literate in our listening audience. And ladies and gentlemen, I mean, these times we live in are really amazing times because we are seeing the demise of the faith, family, and freedom in the Western world. No question about that. 42% of kids born without fathers last year, up from 6% in 1960. The devastation in the breakdown of the faith and family in this country is overwhelming. But at the same time, there's something very, very positive happening. And I'm seeing it all over the place right now. I mean, we're seeing Christianity and the Christian worldview coming back, and a Christian sensitivity to a biblical form of fatherhood, a biblical form of family, and a biblical approach to social relationships. This is coming back. And it's coming back, I mean, not in tiny little screenplays written by homeschooled kids for their own family, you know, produced with their little Nikon, and then everybody gets around and watches it. We're talking about films and books that are being produced by homeschoolers, by Christians, and they are impacting millions of people. Millions of people. It is amazing what is happening right now. Now, is it affecting the macro? I have to believe that at some point the micro will affect the macro, and that may be what we'll see in the next 10, 20 years or so. But America is an anomaly right now. Certainly we're seeing the breakdown of the faith and family in Europe, Sweden, England, Scotland, doing terrible, just terrible, in terms of the quality of the faith and the application of the Bible to everyday life. I'll throw in Switzerland on that one, too, and Germany. I'll throw in a few other states. But, hey, America, something's going on here, this wild card. And a lot of it is what's happening with the homeschooling movement, the San Antonio Independent Christian Film Festival, Doug Phillips, Vision Forum, and maybe even the Generations Radio broadcast here and there in nooks and crannies as we make it into the households of tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people around the nation. Well, friends, a biblical worldview, a biblical view of social relationships coming back into the postmodern world. And America, I think, could see a tremendous reformation in years to come. Now, here's the reason I'm saying this. Because of what's going on in the film industry. Now, some of this is inspired by the San Antonio Independent Christian Film Festival. No question about it. And we have the Kendrick brothers back again with Courageous. Hit the box office, number 4 in the box office last weekend. $9 million in sales in the first week. That's more than they did with Fireproof in the first week. $8,000 per theater. And by the way, the closest was $4,500. So per theater, earnings on Courageous the movie was almost double what the others received over the weekend. So very, very well. And my guess is $9 million probably involved more than 1 million people watching a very good movie. I'd say heavily, heavily influenced by Doug Phillips' Vision Forum and the Independent Christian Film Festival, as I see it. Why? Because the Kendrick brothers have been hanging out with us for a long time. And Rotten Tomatoes, by the way, has put a 93% audience approval rating on it. 93%. By the way, critics, 31% approved of it. So, I mean, that's obvious. It was Christian. Of course, the mainstream, the Hollywood types are going to hate it. Of course they're going to hate it. They hate anything that's Christian. If they have family values, it was too preachy. You know, if there weren't enough people getting drunk, there weren't enough drug addicts dying as drug addicts in a ditch at the end of the movie, they're not going to like it. If you don't have some serial killer blowing people away for existentialist reasons or nihilistic reasons either way, as in No Country for Old Men, if they don't have some kind of a treat like that for the eyes of the critics, they're not going to give it anything better than a 31% approval rating. But the audience, they loved it. 93%, one of the highest approval ratings you can get on Rotten Tomatoes. They spent $2 million making it, and they made that up in the first weekend. $9 million. And by the way, they spent less money than any other movie right now on Box Office Mojo, at least as far down as 40 to 50 different motion pictures listed on the Mojo. So that's pretty cool. I mean, $2 million, that's all they spent. And they're number 4, guys. $2 million spent on the movie, and the Kendrick brothers take in number 4 in the box office over the weekend. And the themes in this movie were extraordinary. Fatherhood, Of course, they dealt with the devastation of the broken families, the absence of fathers in the present day, and they're bringing back this very fundamental value that we've lost. And by the way, the tears will flow. Everybody I talked to who went to various showings over the weekend said there were no dry eyes, no dry eyes, because it's speaking to something very fundamental. Everybody had a father, and most people aren't making very good fathers today, and they're beginning to understand they've lost something. There's something missing in the postmodern world, and it's so incredibly basic. I'd say more fundamental than marriage. Why? Because it's fatherhood that raises the future of husbands and wives, mothers and fathers of the next generation. So if you don't have decent fathers raising the next fathers and mothers, husbands and wives, you're not going to have any good marriages. You're not going to have any good lives. You're going to have a breakdown of the family in the year 2020, in the year 2040, in the year 2060, in the year 2080. And people understand the basic fundamental nature of fatherhood. And it's coming back in the form of Courageous, about four police officers, story about four police officers, and they're involved in some amazing feats throughout the movie. But the most amazing, most important feat, the most significant feat, the most courageous feat that they engage is what happens at home. And they drive that point home very, very strongly. Here's what Doug Phillips said on this. You know, Doug, Vision Forum. Here's what he said. Upon watching Courageous, there was an overwhelming sense of experiencing something special, powerful, precious in the eyes of God. I knew I had seen something historic. Once again, Stephen, Alex Kendrick have modeled for families and filmmakers that the message and the means of creating a film can be done outside of Hollywood with great integrity and using the resources of the people of God without sacrificing the quality of the project. All right. So compared to Fireproof, again, it made more in the first week. By the way, Fireproof came out number four in the first week, too. So it's interesting. I mean, just neck and neck. And Fireproof grossed $33 million in the box office with a production budget of $500,000. Not bad. It was number six in terms of its all-time winner for the Christian genre. And by the way, the Christian genre is coming back, as I mentioned. Just the last 5 or 6 years, some tremendous things happening in the Christian genre. I mean, you think about it. The top 10 movies in the Christian genre are all movies made recently, and they are raking in the bucks. People are going to see these things. In other words, they're not just taking the average, ordinary Hollywood fare anymore. These independent Christian filmmakers are actually producing some pretty amazing things. The top three, I think, or top four are obvious. Passion of the Christ, Chronicles of Narnia, Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe is number two, Prince Caspian number three, and The Voyage of the Dawn Treader number four. So right away we know, I mean, those are going to be the blockbusters, and they're fairly new. You have to be impressed with some of these Christian themes coming into the box office and doing fairly well. After that comes The Nativity Story. As you know, that came out about 2 years ago. I think it was 2006, maybe it was. Fireproof came out in 2008. That's number six. So Fireproof is the number six all-time most popular Christian motion picture produced in the last 20 to 30 years. Jonah of VeggieTales comes in number seven. One Night with the King on Esther. Remember, that was a movie on Esther, came out number eight. It's raked in $14 million. The Pirates Who Don't Do Anything, I think, isn't that another VeggieTales, if I'm not mistaken? That's number nine. The Omega Code came out back in 1999. Can't even remember what that was about. That's number 10. End of the Spear, number 11. Facing the Giants, number 12. And Courageous right now, number 13. My guess is that's going to push the number five. That's probably going to push out The Nativity Story to take number five in the all-time most popular Christian movie. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Christian's coming back big time in the film genre. Carl Bob with me right now. Carl, you haven't seen Courageous yet?
Actually, I'm going Thursday night with my daughter. We're going to have a little date.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
You saw Fireproof.
We saw Fireproof, yes, sir.
Pretty
excellent.
Amazing.
Oh,
you got to admit.
Excellent.
I mean, for a church, this is the Shorewood Baptist folks. They produce their own actors, and they do the best that they possibly can as a bunch of neophytes in this business, and they pull together their nickels, their dimes, their quarters, and they rake up $500,000, and then they rake in $150 million through DVD sales and box office receipts for these movies like Fireproof and Courageous. It's pretty impressive what these guys are doing.
Right, and it hits really where people are at right now. I mean, in the family, and I'm looking forward to Courageous. I've seen the trailers and all that kind of thing, and I'm looking forward and excited to see how these men are going to stand up from where they are to be true fathers and husbands that God's called them to be.
Mm-hmm. And they make mistakes, they sin, mm-hmm. and they repent,
And some do, some don't. I mean, this is kind of a real-life movie. I mean, as far as I've heard, I haven't seen the movie myself yet. Some of my children have seen it. It doesn't end as nicely as Fireproof did, where all the pieces come together at the end. But it does show some very, very significant redemptive aspects. And I appreciate that. Now, folks, before we take a break, we're going to be back to talk about Fiction in just a moment. But there was another sleeper that did really, really well over the weekend. And this is ironic because the weekend that you see a great film coming out from a Christian film producing team, Courageous, we also have another movie that came out called The Dolphin Tale. And that came out the week before, but that took number one. And one of the reasons why our movie Courageous didn't make number three or number two was because Dolphin Tale did so well. And Dolphin Tale is a pro-homeschooling movie, perhaps the most pro-homeschooling movie ever produced in the history of film. And it just came out over the last two weekends. And it did $34 million over two weekends. Was number three a week ago, and now is number one, the top-rated box office hit of the last weekend, friend, a pro-homeschooling movie called Dolphin Tale. Amazing. Now, the downside of this, let me give the downside first. Downside is they got to tip their hat to polytheism. You know, you've got the little Native American woohoo saying what dolphins once were men, and they turned into dolphins or what have you. So just a little bit of paganism. You got to have a little paganism today, you know? I mean, hey, these are public school kids watching the movie. They're used to their polytheistic. You know, this is how little Japanese, little pagan guy here, little pagan guy there respects his idols. How do you respect your values? I mean, these sorts of things, I've seen these things in literature textbooks all over. Public schools are constantly enforcing the fact that the Native American religion is just as good as the Islamic religion, just as good as the Christian religion. So you got to get that into your dolphin tail. You got to get that into your dolphin tail. But you still have the doctor who gives glory to God for the excellencies of his creation. So you kind of have that. So the doctor who you know, takes this prosthetic tail and puts it on the dolphin and kind of fixes the dolphin in the movie, turns out he's got a little fear of God, which, hey, that's worth something. It turns out the doctor and his father, or the grandfather, homeschooled the little girl on a houseboat. Now, the girl who plays the key role in this movie, it turns out she's homeschooled in real life. And she plays a homeschooled girl in the story. They homeschool her on this boat, I guess, in the harbor. And it so happens that this little boy walks into her hospital room at some point. Apparently, she's in the hospital at some point. The little boy walks in. He happens to be the little boy who found the dolphin to begin with. Hazel, the little girl, befriends the little boy. He's kind of shy. And this little boy, Sawyer, eventually helps Eventually, Hazel convinces her dad to let Sawyer stay and help with Winter, or the little dolphin, as she astutely observes that the otherwise depressed dolphin whistles happily when she hears Sawyer's voice. Well, the boy, Sawyer, apparently begins to skip summer school, and you get to know where this is going, okay, because he doesn't like school. School is getting in the way of a good education, as Mark Twain would put it. And so he slowly comes out of his shell under Hazel's influence, Hazel being the homeschool girl who's incredibly precocious, she's outgoing, she's sociable, and, you know, homeschooled, sociable,
right.
Outgoing,
exactly.
You know, interacting with all sorts of people, making friends, having a good time, you know, homeschooled, okay?
Can have an intelligent conversation with an adult, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. This girl is unreal. I mean, she plays the part very well, but she's homeschooled as well. She knows how to play the part, and she gives homeschooling an amazing image. At one point, she says, and here I quote, "I'm homeschooled. That's why I'm such a chatterbox."
That's great.
So the boy's mother, okay, Sawyer's mother in the movie, gets uptight about her son missing school. And she insists that he returns to the classroom. Of course, he doesn't want to do that. So he begs his mom, I don't want to go to school. I want to be educated. You know, I want to hang out here and be in the Marine Hospital. And the mom actually begins to see value in Sawyer's non-traditional, non-classroom-oriented environment. And then in the big scene for homeschoolers where everybody's out there yelling in the theater going, yeah, Sawyer's mom begins to plead with the teacher to allow her son to receive credit for the work that he's been doing in the Marine Hospital with the little dolphin Winter and the other marine animals.
Where he's actually learning something. He's learning not just stuff. Enduring whatever's foisted upon him, but he's actually learning something, getting
exactly.
involved.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that film, number one in the box office today. And I think we got a turnaround going on in the nation. I mean, there is an amazing turnaround towards the reconstruction of the family, towards a Christian view of things, towards a respect for God's creation and the fear of God in the motion picture industry. I mean, it's amazing where we're beginning to see some incredible things happening in this country. And by the way, it's not happening in Canada, not happening in England, not happening in Sweden. These nations would be mocking this stuff. I mean, they would be mocking Courageous, the movie, way too preachy, bringing out the Bible. They're trying to get people to read the Bible to their kids and do family worship. Well, that was number 4 in the box office in the United States of America. It could be that the little influences, the little work that is done by the San Antonio Independent Christian Film Festival and the homeschooling movement and the worldview programs, much as like the one we do here every day from my basement, may be making some impact across the fruited plains. Ladies and gentlemen, God isn't done with this nation yet. Some amazing things going on, and it's affecting our art forms, our culture. And we'll be back in just a moment.
Hey, church leaders, are the parents in your church doing the basics in the home? I'm not talking about changing their children's diapers and feeding them 3 square meals a day. I'm talking about the basics, the Word of God. I'm talking about the book of Proverbs. If this is God's curriculum for kids, if this is God's book for providing knowledge, wisdom, and understanding to a young man or a young woman, then the parents in your churches need to be inculcating these lessons into their children. That's why I produced a 3-volume family Bible study series on the book of Proverbs, specifically for parents, who, by the way, are the God-appointed teachers according to the book of Proverbs. All right, pastors, elders, leaders, I'd like to encourage you to take this challenge. Instead of purchasing Sunday school materials this year, as most churches do, why not distribute our family Bible study guides on Proverbs to every family in your church? We'll be happy to provide you with bulk prices at generationswithvision.com. Churches all over America are providing family Bible study guides to their families as a means of encouraging families to this vitally important responsibility. Contact us through generationswithvision.com for bulk prices or order your copy today at generationswithvision.com.
And we're back on the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you, your host. Homeschool father of 5, raising our children out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Son Daniel actually working the controls in studio with us, and he's been working with me for, 9, 10 years now on this program. Carl Bob, also across the table from me. Carl, thanks for coming back to the program, man.
You bet. It's great.
Yeah, it's good
thanks
to have you again. Yeah. Carl, you've been doing some fiction stuff. I mean, you are a professional voice actor. And you're doing some wonderful presentations in children's fiction. So we want to talk about children's fiction a little bit. We started with the motion pictures. And by the way, I think I like audio drama better than the DVDs and the motion pictures.
Yeah, we do too, because it causes people to think more.
Yeah. It draws the brain into it, and you've got to actually have an active brain and be engaging and imagining and entering into the story a little bit more rather than sitting there passively and drooling on your lap and popping maybe a little popcorn in your mouth from time to time, but drooling there and your brain waves down to like 0.0001, whatever it is in activity.
Right. Yeah,
which happens in the motion picture theater. But let's talk a little bit about fiction and entertainment for children. Because, you know, somebody asked me about fantasy last Sunday. One of the guys in our that I'm mentoring. He just asked me over breakfast, what do you think, Mr. Swanson, about fantasy and the Lord of the Rings and such? And I said, yeah, it's some good stuff there, and I enjoyed it. And we've watched some of that stuff as a family. But I've got some concerns, and one of the concerns about fantasy especially, but any form of fiction, is that children can get lost in the metaphor. I mean, they get addicted to the metaphor. They get lost in the metaphor, and you can begin to see their glazed eyes as they live in the metaphor. And then they come to church, and they hear about reality. Okay, what's reality? Reality is there is a God. He made you. You broke his law. You're in big trouble. God has a hell. He's got a judgment. But he's also got a Savior in Jesus Christ. And wake up, big guy. That's reality. And there's a gigantic battle going on between good and evil. And you've got the Hitlers and the abortionists. And you've got the sinful stuff on the one end. And then you've got the cause of righteousness on the other end. And wake up, big boy. There's a reality out there. And you better be living in that reality. And sometimes when you watch these kids come in and they listen to my sermons, their eyes glaze over because they've been watching Lord of the Rings, you know, all day Saturday night, and they just are disconnected. They're bored out of their minds because the spiritual reality means nothing to them. They're lost in another reality. They'd much, much rather be in this fake reality than in the real reality. And Carl, that's dangerous. I mean, that's really, really, really dangerous. They need to wake up to the real issues of the world around them. That's one reason why I like the movie Courageous. Because what's it doing? It's saying, now, wait a minute, big guy. You sitting there eating the popcorn. I think you've got a problem, too. And your relationship with your daughter and your son is just not where it needs to be.
Right, right. Yeah, in fact, we're going on Thursday night. My daughter and I are taking another couple and their two children to this movie, and that the wife is a believer, the husband's an unbeliever, and he is a police officer.
Oh, yeah.
And,
okay.
You know,
okay.
We've been meeting with them and sharing Christ with them and having time together with them, and we're really praying that God will use this story, which is based in reality.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, obviously it's fiction.
Yeah.
You know, it's made up.
Yeah.
But it's something that could take place.
And it's something that applies to all of us. And it speaks to us.
Exactly.
It speaks to us. Mm-hmm. Let's take a moment and pray for that family. Why don't you pray real quick? I don't have a name, but at least pray that God would bless this time.
Yeah. Father, I want to pray right now that you would bless our time on Thursday evening. That when our friends come with us to this film, Father, that you would be interceding and going before, Father, that you would prepare their hearts and minds. And when the reality of yourself becomes so clear to them, Father, that you would open their hearts, draw them, and give them faith that they might truly love you and serve you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Now, that's real. That was real.
Yeah.
Why? Because we turned around and talked to the God who's here.
Amen. Amen.
He's here.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, one of the things, the reasons that I love fiction, and I've been reading to my children for years, and that's why I got into this whole idea of being a voice actor and producing voice books, audio books that would really minister to the souls of people and help them, assist them, undergird them in their calling as parents. And, you know, it's because I've read so many good books to my children, fiction books.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, we just finished reading last week, Twice Freed. By Patricia
St. John.
Right. It's
wonderful.
Yeah,
yes.
In England they say St. John.
Yes.
But
St. John,
okay. Yeah. You both get it right, Kevin.
I always call her St. John.
Yeah, but she's
a wonderful, wonderful author.
Now, Patricia, of course, grew up with missionary parents.
Yes.
She grew up on the
mission
field, has a heart for missions. And she wrote this book, Twice Freed, based on the characters of Onesimus and Philemon from the book of Philemon.
Hmm.
And after we read that book, I read the book of Philemon aloud. Hmm. And all of us were in tears.
Wow.
We were just so struck by the strength and power and majesty of God's word. That's what fiction should do.
It should draw us closer
to the living God.
And open up the truth of what was really there in the Word of God.
Absolutely.
In other words, it's illustrative. It's what illustrations ought to do.
Exactly.
And get us back to the truth of God's Word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as your children pick up books and they read those books, what makes that edifying to them?
Well,
what are you looking for?
What I'm looking for is books that are going to underscore and to support the truths of God's word.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because there is only one theme.
Yeah.
And that is God in creation.
Yes.
Saving mankind.
Right.
That he has from eternity past ordained that Christ would be the savior of all mankind. And he's building a bride. He's drawing a bride to himself.
Mm-hmm.
A pure and perfect bride to spend all of eternity with him. So it's always a love story. It's that idea, right, that everybody loves a good love story. Well, that's exactly what good fiction will do. It will draw us to that God, to that groom, as it were, who loves us.
Okay, as you're watching your children, okay, they've completed a genre. Let's say they've read through the Patricia St. John Sinjin series, and they've read all 7, 8, 9 of them, whatever it is.
Right.
And now you look at them, you watch them, you live with them, you're in relationship with them.
Right.
You can follow them. You know what's going on in their hearts and lives. You're there.
Mm-hmm.
You're there.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know they've been edified?
Well, 2 years ago, I'm sitting in my basement working on a message. I don't even remember what the message is about. But I remember sitting there, and Katrina comes downstairs. She's my 7-year-old at that time. She's 9 now. And she comes downstairs to me, and she says, Daddy, do you have a minute to talk? I said, sure, sweetheart, what's up? So I turned my chair. She sat on my lap, and she looked at me with these eyes that were just really clear and full of conviction. She says, Daddy, I want to repent of my sins, and I want to be baptized. You know, she made a profession of faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And we don't want to despise our little children coming to Christ.
Right.
Jesus said, for such is the kingdom
right.
of God.
Right.
Bring the little children. Allow yeah. little children to come to me.
Yeah.
Allow them in their childlike faith to be built up and encouraged in the faith.
They see others coming to faith and
right.
living lives of repentance.
Exactly.
I mean, these stories, it's not wrong to have a story about a kid who steals.
Mm-hmm.
A kid who's greedy and covets something that belongs to his brother, or what have you. You
Absolutely.
Know, I mean, you're going to have sin in the stories.
Mm-hmm.
But if they begin to see, and this is one reason why I love the movie Treasures in the Snow and the story
mm-hmm.
by Patricia St. John.
Right.
You brought this up. But
right.
I love the story of mm-hmm. tremendous envy and jealousy going on there, and
mm-hmm.
the pain and the agony that happens, and the broken relationships and the broken leg.
Right.
And
right.
all of that. You remember
mm-hmm.
the story.
Oh, sure.
It's a wonderful story. And then the repentance and the beauty of relationships restored. And you know what? Children read those things and say, you know what? My relationship with my own brother is a little rough right now.
Right.
There's been some jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of stuff can speak, can't
mm-hmm.
it?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. In fact, we were just praying about that last night in family worship, that our two girls would get along, you know? I got a 21-year-old and a 9-year-old, you know? And sometimes they really get after it. You know, they're two different stages of life. And so, yeah, they can get after each other.
Carl, let me ask you about the entertaining value of mm-hmm. the movies, the motion mm-hmm. pictures, the fiction novels, what have you. Is the entertaining value essential? Is it unimportant? I mean, can we delight in human creativity? The use of a phrase, the story, the illustration,
right.
the mystery, the
mm-hmm.
adventure. I mean,
mm-hmm.
can we delight in the details
right.
without getting lost in the details? I mean, is it appropriate to be entertained?
Oh, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, God is a God of beauty and creation. And we just look out the window
yeah.
and we can see the beautiful setting that your home is sitting on, with these pine trees and the blue sky and the sunshine and the birds and, you know, all of these good things. God has created these things for us to enjoy. They're created for our good pleasure. He's told us that. And so he wants us to enjoy life. And so I think enjoying language. You know, we speak two languages at home, right? My wife is Swiss, and we lived in Switzerland and Austria for many years. And because of that, we have fun with language. It's fun. Words are fun. And so we have different words that we'd like to share with each other and enjoy, you know, those things together. So language, I think, is a beautiful expression, again, of God's goodness.
Yeah.
And enjoying language, enjoying good stories, and being blessed by those, I think is proper and good and right.
And the key of it all is to keep God there
right.
in the backdrop of it all.
Exactly.
I mean, if God is there, and we are in more contact with him and his reality in the end, and enjoying him as we enjoy his good gifts, and that's the theme in Deuteronomy 14, where, you know, in the rejoicing tithe, you go out, you spend what you want, you get what your soul desires, you get the chocolate, you get the cream pie, you know, you have a good time for a week. And he says, I want you to rejoice before the Lord your God. So rejoice, enjoy the cream pie, enjoy the adventure story. But you got to rejoice because there is a God who's good.
Yes.
Who's given you all these good things.
Right. That's why we love love stories.
Oh, yes.
Because...
Yes.
Because the love between a man and a woman is a beautiful thing.
Yes.
God created it. It's
yes.
good. It's fulfilling. And it's something we should desire.
Right.
And so it's fun to read love stories, too.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, we're just out of time here, Carl, but I want to direct folks to some of your work. I mean, you've got a new product out called The Hearts Boys. Talk to that for just a second.
Sure. Yeah, The Hearts Boys is a wonderful adventure. It was written by Franz Hofmann, a Christian who lived in the 19th century in Germany, and he wrote these books. He wrote several books, but specifically The Hearts Boys books, to show young men that what you sow is what you will reap, that there are consequences to your actions in life. And that you need to live in a good and godly way. And, of course, there's themes that come out like forgiveness, the necessity of building friendships that are built on forgiveness, forgiving just as Christ has forgiven you, and to be able to build trust in relationships, to be courageous, to work hard, a familial theme of caring for your aged mother. Things like this that come out in this book, the adventures of these boys.
Is it
wonderful.
A fun story?
Oh, it's a great story.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a lot of adventure. I mean, it puts
That's
you really
it.
On pins and needles in some parts of it.
And it's written in German, but you don't read it in German.
No. Yeah, I don't read it in German. I could, but I don't. It's in English for our English audience, of course, to listen to. It's available on my website, Carl's. trustedvoice.com, and you can get the download of that book. It's an MP3 download. We're going to have CDs coming out here soon as well. And it's a great book. It's about 3.5 hours. And one of the keys to, I think, also helping with good fiction is to have good questions and good discussion afterwards. And so we've placed some discussion questions at the end of the chapter. It's a place to start, of course. You could probably think of better questions yourself, but they're the ones we came up with to kind of help guide parents in that direction.
Well, that should be a wonderful resource for a lot of families out there, Carl. And let's, again, direct our audience to your website. Carl'sTrustedVoice.com is where you can pick up this wonderful adventure story called The Hart's Boys. Carl, thanks so much for joining us today on the program.
Thank you, Kevin. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. If you have comments on entertainment, on movies, motion pictures, fiction, what have you, feel free to email me at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.